Welcome to this week's edition of Ag Economic Insights. I'm Joe Gangwish with David Widmar, co-author of the blog AgEconomist.com. He's also co-owner of Ag Economic Insights. David, this week we're going to talk about off-farm income. You know, on this program we've talked about fluctuations we've seen and a drop in on-farm income, but you've got some readings on off-farm income. Tell us about what's on this week's blog.
Yeah, the USDA does a great job of estimating and forecasting on-farm income and net farm income, but they also provide a second estimate as to off-farm income. And when you take the on-farm and the off-farm income and you add those up, then you get this farm household income. And that really gives us a good idea of how farm families are doing in the broader scheme and the broader picture of things. And the USDA has highlighted off-farm income being strong as one of the positive stories out of the recent downturn in agriculture. So one of the bright lights going on. So we took a look at this week's post, and we looked at that on-farm, off-farm income relationship. And since about 2012, on-farm income across all farms in the United States, that off-farm income component accounts for about 70% of household income. This means that a lot of family farms out there rely on that off-farm job to help pay the bills and make ends meet.
There's a good chart reflecting some of those figures at AgEconomist.com. Let's talk about off-farm income varying across different farm types.
Yeah, so this is where we really start to see a difference emerge. The USDA has three size categories or three farm types, and the story's a little different for each of those. The first one is what they call a residence farms, which are about 60% of all farms out there. They have less than $350,000 in gross income, and they are primarily retired or have another occupation. This is a lot of folks out there who might have a few hobby horses or livestock animals. They primarily count on off-farm income to subsidize that farming activity. They typically run at a loss on their farm income. That next group is kind of this smaller operation that is primarily engaged in farming. And again, off-farm income is a really important part of their operation. The commercial farms, those with more than $350,000 in sales, they're the different group out here. They account for about 10% of operations, but they're 75% of ag production, and they rely on-farm income, quite a bit different than this other group, for about 76% of their household income. So a lot of their farm, family, household needs are going to be met with that on-farm income. So they're going to be at risk during this slowdown in the ag economy.
David, wrap it up for us. USDA has cited off-farm income in some recent updates, but there's some other notes from their data to consider. What do we need to look at?
Yeah, the first thing that we need to consider is that off-farm income also dipped when on-farm income dipped in 2014. So for a lot of households out there in rural America, that was a double whammy for them to face, both their farm income slide and their off-farm income. The second component to keep in mind is that those that agribusinesses and ag lenders and that a lot of listeners think of as a traditional commercial farm out there, they're still very exposed to the downturn in the ag economy just because that off-farm income is a small portion of their total household income. And this income that they do generate is what they use to service debt and to pay their household expenses. And so that's going to be a really important part of that story as we move forward. In summary, this off-farm income really isn't big enough for these large farms in most cases to offset the downturn.
If you'd like to read more about trends in off-farm household income, you can go to the blog, ageconomist.com. And also, if you'd like to hear this program again, it's offered as a podcast. Just go to ruralradio.com on the podcast page. For David Widmar with this week's Ag Economic Insights, I'm Joe Gangwish.